Excuse me. I had a bookmark. It says, the Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Again, we have that thing. Nobody seeks God truly. We don't really start out to seek God. I know in my first 41 years of my life, I didn't seek after. I was trying to play the religious thing because I thought it was a good thing to go to church and take my family to church and things like that. Because I wanted to be, most of the time, I wanted to be seen. I wanted people to see, oh, look at him. Isn't he a good Christian? No, I was lost. I was without Christ. I was not any good. And nobody is any good. Word of God says there's none good. No, not one. It says they are all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Not one person in this world can stand before God and say, God, I did something good. Because then he said, no, you didn't. It was all bunk. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear for God in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor because the Lord is refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come. But my verses, though, is the fool, is where it says there are none good that doeth none. That's what I'm trying to get to tonight is there is none good. Maybe I'm talking to someone on the internet tonight. Maybe there's one person here tonight that doesn't realize that Jesus Christ, you're no good in God's eyes. You stand before God, if you die without his son as your savior, there's nothing good that you can say about yourself. You say, oh, wretched man that I am, but you can say that now too. But there is none good. Go over to Psalms 53. Remember what Paul says, as it is written, there is none good. Well, Psalms 53. I love it when it says in the New Testament, as it is written, you go back and check those verses out and see how they compare with each other. And what got me to thinking about this tonight, about being no good, is I'm reading some of the Old Testament, and I'm right now I'm in Numbers. Just got through with Leviticus earlier. And I was talking to Barry about this. If we were under the law, and do you not hear the law, and what they had to do. The law wasn't just the Ten Commandments. There are Ten Commandments, but the law was all kinds of things that you could not do or you had to do, how many offerings you had to bring. And I told Barry, I said, Barry, you know, if you were a priest under the law, you would be a busy man because think about all the sacrifices that you would have to do. Think about all we would have to do. We'd have to bring this sacrifice. We'd have to bring a sin offering or a wave offering. These kind of offerings. But you know what? None of that pleased God. None of that covered the blood. None of that took away the sin because people just went out and they sinned again. We have something, and I'm going to get to that in just a minute. That's what my point is getting up to, is we have a Lamb of God that was prepared to take away the sins of the world. All that stuff in the Old Testament, the Levitical law and Numbers and all that, that didn't take away the sin because they just kept going back into rebellion. I'm talking about Israel. That was for Israel. But you know, in some days they had to slew thousands of animals. And I'm thinking, could you want to stand behind an altar and have to slew? Isn't it great? All we have to do is just get up and preach the word. It's all right here. Just preach the word. We don't have to worry about a bloody sacrifice anymore because it's already been taken care of. Psalms 53 says, and again, the fool has said, verse 1, in his heart, there is no God. Now, I know you've heard a lot of people talk about there is no God. You turn on TV shows, they talk about there is no God. There's all kinds of deities now. Go seek out your deity. Go seek out your God or seek out whoever it is you want to pray to. They don't want to seek out the true God. There is none that doeth good. Again, there's that word again. There is none that doeth good. We are not any good in our flesh, in this body, in this being that we are. There is not one good thing about us. And it doesn't matter how much you try to do. It doesn't matter how often you walk the aisle. It don't matter how many times you get baptized. That's not any good to God. Look in Isaiah 64:6. Because there is, as Paul said, there is none righteous. Well, look in Isaiah 64. Let me make sure I got that right. Yes. I believe it's Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64, 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing. There's not anything clean about us. Our thoughts, our lives, there's nothing clean about us. Oh, there's a lot of people that think they're, like, you know, I know I'm repeating myself, but there's none good. That's my point tonight. There is none good. The bad news is there is not anybody in his room righteous. It says that our righteousness are as filthy rags. Now, I made a mess in my den the other day. I spilled some hot chocolate, and I went there with a rag, and I cleaned it up, and I looked at that rag, and that rag was filthy. It was no good. Matter of fact, I couldn't even really use it again because it was stained. Well, our righteousness to God is as filthy rags. And you know that we sometimes try to puff ourselves up. We try to make ourselves self-righteous. I did. I used to try to make myself righteous because I was thinking, well, God, here I am. I'm taking my family to church. I'm going to Sunday school. And every time they have a revival, I'm there every night. And boy, Lord, I'm doing all this good stuff for you. And God says, I'm not impressed with that. God says, that's all foolish righteousness. Your righteousness stinks to me. God, I'm giving of my tithe. I'm giving this and I'm giving that. And I read about the tithe the other day too, and it's not 10%. It says 25%. It does. So it's not, anyway, this, and it says that we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. We just float around like the wind. We're flying around like the wind. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. It stinks to God. It does. Go over to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 46. And it says, okay, 1 Kings chapter 8. Yeah, you'd be surprised what you find when you start looking up things. That's one thing I do like about this Bible you gave me. It does help me find it. It's got some good notes in it. I mean, there's some things I disagree with, though. the notes are man written. The Word of God is God breathed. All right, it says in verse 46 of chapter 8 of 1 Kings, for they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not. Even in 1 Kings it says there is no man that sinneth not. That means from Adam until today, there's no man. Thank you. There's no man that sinneth not. All right, go over to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Oh. Verse 36. It says, if they sin against thee, that sounds like almost the same quote as over in 1 Kings, there is no man which sinneth not. So you get the point. You see what I'm saying? The bad news is there is none good. No, not one. There is none righteous. Our righteousness stinks before God. There is none that call upon God. There is no one that seeks God. Before I went to church, or there was a time when I even quit going to church, I wasn't seeking after God. I thought I was okay. I thought I was fine. But I was wrong. And you know what? It's not us that finds God. It's God that finds us. It is us. We don't go seeking, because it says we don't seek after God. But He does find us. That's right. Paul got knocked down on the road to Damascus. I mean, he was out breathing cruelty. I mean, wrecking havoc, as the Bible says. None of us are seeking, but he does seek you. And I remember when he sought me. Now, there have been times I've been under conviction, but not like it was that spring up in Chattanooga, April 13th, 1996. I'll never forget that day. It's just like when Barry says that you don't remember, you don't forget your wedding day. Well, I don't forget my salvation day. Because I have been struggling for so long. Because I never realized when I got lost until that day. When Jerry Locklear was up there preaching, he said, if the cross of Calvary is not enough, you're going to die and go to hell. And he preached 30 minutes on the cross of Calvary. And I'm sitting there listening. I said, Lord, when did I ever really listen to the cross message? Now, I heard you. I was under Barry for 2 years, under Grace. That's the very first time I ever heard Grace was when I heard Barry. I've been in Baptist churches where they teach a watered-down salvation, but they don't really teach that the cross is enough. And is enough. The cross. That's going to change me a little bit. Go over to 1 Corinthians. I'm coming back to some of the... I'm coming back. This just popped in my mind. Chapter 1, verse 17. Of course, the conversation here is Paul about Paul baptizing, but he wasn't worried about it. He said, I didn't come to baptize for Christ. He said, verse 17 in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, it says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of the word, lest the cross of Christ should be made none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. And for the first time, I got to hear about the cross message. First time I got to realize I was no good. First time I got to hear that Jesus Christ paid it all. There was nothing else I had to do. And that was the day I got saved, because I believed that. All right, going back to no good, go to Ecclesiastes 7:20. If you don't know where it's at, just go to Proverbs and go one book over. And you know, Barry uses this verse quite a bit. Now I'm done with 2 Chronicles. I'm going to Ecclesiastes 7:20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That's why we have a Savior. That is why Jesus Christ had to give himself upon the cross. Because there is none good. There is none righteous, because as I said, our righteousness is as filthy rags. We don't seek after good, after God, excuse me. We don't seek after God. Nobody seeks after God. We're left to ourselves. We follow our own paths, as they say. But praise God, and there's no works that can satisfy God either. There is not anything that we can do. I've said that before. There's nothing we can do. And God... we cannot please God in this body, in this flesh. We cannot please God. We cannot seek out to do our thing for God that first of all, we want to pat ourselves on the back. It's just like the story over in Luke where the two men go into the temple, one a Pharisee and one a publican. And that Pharisee, he go in there, boy, you know, he's patting himself on the back. Lord, look at me. Look how good I am. Lord, I fast several times a week. I give money. And, man, I help Granny across the road, you know, during the... And I'm just out here. I'll catch somebody's dog for him. And he's talking about himself. He's talking about his self-righteousness. But the publican couldn't even no more lift up his eyes unto the Lord and said, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Well, that's the way we should be. We should be. Now, enough of the bad news. I want to spend some time in the good news. Christ died for our sins. Oh, first of all, I got one more verse. Romans 3:23. Let's don't forget that. Yeah, that should be a very familiar verse with everyone. Romans 3:23. For all. Now that word all doesn't mean a few. It doesn't mean some. It don't mean a couple. What does it mean? It means all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Alright, so now we're in a sinful condition. We're a sinful man. We have no righteousness. Our righteousness stinks as filthy rags. We don't seek the Lord. So there's got to be there's a penalty there. Something's going to have to die for us. And God prepared a lamb. But first of all, go over to Romans 6:23. Let's see what happens. The first part of 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Because of our sin nature, because we were enemies with God, somebody's going to have to die. We're going to have to die for our sins. But hold on just a minute. God don't want us to die for our sins. He didn't want us to die in our sins. He prepared a lamb for us. Even John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and I'm not going to talk about the Lamb of God, and I'm just talking about what He's done for us. The good news is Christ died for our sins. Go on and read the rest of that verse. It says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So we can come to God. I told you it's going to be a very easy, simple message tonight. But we can have eternal life because Jesus Christ, His Son, was sacrificed for us. Go over to Galatians 2:20. And let me show you some things about what Christ did for us. And I get excited about now these verses coming up. I get kind of excited about them sometimes because when you stop and think about this, and that's all I want you to just think about. Galatians 2:20, it's a familiar verse with everyone. It says, "I am crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." And this is the sentence I want. "Who loved me and gave himself for me." Now think about it now. You have you, a sinner, self-righteous. Your righteousness doesn't, it's all filthy rags. But then there's got to be a sacrifice for the sin. Because we're enemies with God. I'll go over to Romans 5 real quick. I think that's the verse I'm thinking about right now. Oh, yes, verse 10. 5, verse 10. Matter of fact, I think there's one more. Anyway, it says, "For if when we were enemies, we're enemies with God, we stand outside," and that has a lot of, anyway, we're not walking in fellowship with God. We're outside of His boundaries, of His saving grace. I hope I'm trying to make sense. And we were enemies. And we became enemies when our great-grandpappy Adam decided to disobey what God said. And from that point on, we have been enemies with Christ. And I don't mean some people just stand around and shake their fists and God. We don't have to do that. We just have to just not believe. Just don't believe. And you know, and I'm going to get to this in just a minute, and this is something I like to think about too. He gave himself for us. Jesus Christ came to this earth, took on the form of man, walked this earth for 33 years, and when he didn't fuss, he didn't even argue with any of the people who accused him. I heard somebody make a comment that even before he got to the cross, he was shedding blood because they were plucking his beard out. They had beat him with stripes. I mean, they humiliated our Savior. And do you know, he could have said, "God, I can't do this. I don't want to." But when he was in the garden, and I love it when he was in the garden because he prayed three times. He was not looking forward to dying for me because he looked in that cup and he saw all the filthiness that Stanley was. He said, "Lord, have mercy. This man does need a Savior. Lord, I don't know." But when he went back that third time, he says, "Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. I will die for Stanley on that cross. I will die for Gene. I will die for anyone who will believe." And he took it upon himself. He went through all that humiliation. He walked down that road while they beat on him and spit on him and pulled his beard out. And when he got to that cross, he didn't struggle. They didn't have to fight him. He laid out his arms. He stretched out his arms and said, "This is for Stanley. This is for the world. This is for anybody who will trust me." And he hung on that cross and he bled and he died. He shed that precious blood for us. Go over to Galatians 1, verse 3 and 4. It says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." And here's the sentence I want. "Who gave himself for our sins." And why did he give himself? "That he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." And see, God, through His Son, and His Son gave Himself for us, who knew no sin. Christ knew no sin. The only sin that Christ knew was my sin when he died on that cross. And he took my sin to hell, and he rose the third day and justified me because he forgave us of our sins. Go over to Romans 4:25. Romans 4:25 says, well, let's go over to verse 24. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So we have been justified because Jesus Christ, when he died, he didn't stay in the grave. He came back. He came back for a reason. He came back to justify us. It's just as if we have not sinned. You get that? See, before, we're sinners. We're still sinners in the flesh. Don't get me wrong, we still sin. We're going to do it anyway. But what I'm saying is we have been forgiven. There is not one thing that you can do, have done, or shall do. God, Christ died for our past sins, our present, and our future sins. He died for all of them. There's not anything that we can do that will make God angry at us. God is not angry with us. And I'm going to get into that in a little bit. Look at verse 25 over in Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, for declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are through the forbearance of God. God, through Jesus Christ and his blood, cleansed us from all sin. There is nothing that we can do. People want to say, oh, you know, I've got to go confess my sins. Well, why do you need to confess something that God has already forgotten? I was sharing a verse with Terry not long ago in the Old Testament that there is a verse that says that God has forgotten our sins.
Consider what I say, Paul said, God will give you understanding.
Why do you need to confess something that he don't even care about?
Brothers, today I've been led the wrong way. They're in need of reprimanding.
Confess something that he's already forgiven you of.
Teachers with itching ears who want to tell them what they want to hear.
There are things that I don't want to do that I do.
And tell spiritual lies. They can't see the truth because they don't have spiritual eyes. In Berea I heard they were searching God's word to see if Paul's preaching was true.
And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. He loved us so much he died on the cross for us. And hath given himself to us.
And
sanctified
us
to God for us. Christ Jesus took upon himself to be our Lord. And when he died, everybody has to get saved now. Just like,
why can't we let
everybody
God's word mean what it says? If we just compare each verse, then we won't have to guess.
Well, let's start in 13, if you don't mind. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify me to him.
And tell spiritual lies.
They
can't see the truth because they don't have spiritual lies.
You know, back in the Old Testament,
they can't see the truth because they don't have spiritual eyes.
God, you can redeem us from our sinful state.
spiritual life.
Can you imagine? What if Jesus Christ did not die on the cross? What if we didn't have a Savior? We'd be lost in our sin. We'd be idol worshiping, importing Gentiles, which we are anyway. There you go. And no chance of water or anything. I mean, seriously, have you ever thought about what if Christ had not died? And now I was reading something today about he was in the temple, and the people who got mad at him, they wanted to throw him off of a cliff. Well, he escaped, because you know why? Because he couldn't have died that way. He could not have been murdered that way. He could not have been stoned. He had to die on the cross. That's the only way. I've read it in 1 Corinthians. That the power of the cross is what saves us. That's why Jesus Christ had to die for us. That's why we have a lamb. Not a Passover lamb, but he is our lamb. He was prepared to die for the sins of the world. He was prepared to die for my sins, your sins. He was prepared to die for our unrighteousness. As God said, our righteousness is as filthy rags. He was prepared to, he's looking for us. Because we don't stop and, before you got involved in church or anything, you weren't seeking after God, were you? No. All right, go on to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're still talking about Christ giving himself. If that don't excite you, if thinking that the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth, God's pure son, giving himself for a wretched old man like me, if that don't get you excited, then there's nothing much that you'd be done. You're just not excitable. Excuse me. Pardon me just a minute. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. Neither give heed to, 1 Timothy, is that right? Hold on just a minute, I think I made a mistake. Let me look at something real quick. Okay, I wrote my notes down wrong. I'll think about it in a minute, but let's go on. It has to do with Christ giving himself for us. Let me see. Hold on, Jim. I'm sorry. Oh, here we go. You're right. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I wrote the wrong. Right verses, wrong chapter. Chapter 2. It says, chapter 2, who will have all men to be saved? Jesus Christ wants everybody to be saved. But you know what? There's not going to be, everybody's not going to get saved. There are going to be people who don't want to be saved. There are people who claim that there is no God. And you know, those are fools. I'm sorry, there's no apology to anybody, but they're fools. Because this Bible is true. I believe this Bible from front to back, upside down, inside out. And people have called me narrow-minded. I said, yeah, I'm about that narrow-minded right there. I have been accused of being brainwashed. Yeah, I'm brainwashed in the King James Bible. And I am also brainwashed in the fact, I'm not brainwashed. Just have understanding of what God wanted in my life. It says in chapter 2, verse 4, who have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants everybody to come to that knowledge. He wants everybody to come to that truth. He wants men to get up and speak. And I'm not very good at speaking sometimes, and especially walking up to a stranger. I get cold feet sometimes, or a lot of times. But when I do get cranked up, you can't shut me up. Carlton says, somebody told Carlton the best way to shut me up is put some food in front of me. And that's the only time I won't talk. Because I asked Carlton, you have to get Carlton to explain that to you, because him and I have been we've been all the way out to Texas and back. And I know there's been times he's like, I wish you'd be quiet for a while. But get me wound up and I can talk about things. But God would have all men to be saved. And he has provided salvation. He has given us a way, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. And here's that the sentence again, who gave himself a ransom. to be testified in due time. He gave himself not only as redemption, but as a ransom. He gave himself because we were under the power and the bondage of sin. And Christ broke the chains. Christ took away the sin. I didn't say sin nature. He took away the sin. When he went to the cross, he took care of everything. There is not anything. And people, they, you know, I get a kick out of listening to people sometimes. Well, God's going to send me to hell because I cussed or I smoked that cigarette or I did that. And God is not sending anybody to hell for your sins. Now, he will send you to hell for only one reason, and that's unbelief. Not trusting his son. Not realizing what he did. And there's something else that he did. Excuse me. On the cross, go to Colossians 1, verse 20. Something else God did through his son. And this is why Christ died for us. Yeah, 120 and 21. I want you to look at this other word. It's called reconciled. Reconciliation. And having made peace. Have you got peace? Do you have the peace of God? I know the day I got saved, it was amazing. It wasn't amazing. It was wonderful because I chucked everything I was trusting. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if what Christ did at the cross was not enough for me, I am going to die and bust the slats out of hell. And a calm came over me, a peace. Because see, I went through struggle with my Christian life. I didn't have a time in my life when I got lost. And you have to get lost before you can get saved. There has to be a time in your life when you realize that what you do is not enough. What you believe is not enough. You have to believe only one thing, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose the third day for your sins. He died on the cross for your sins. He took your sins to hell. And in this verse right here, it says, you were reconciled. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. God has reconciled the whole world. The whole world has been reconciled. But not everybody is going to be saved. Not everybody's going to be saved. Now, I believe in universal reconciliation, but I don't believe in universal salvation. Salvation is an individual thing. It's something that God points out to you, hey, you need to get saved. You need to trust my son for what he did at the Calvary. The cross is all that is sufficient. I have reconciled you. There is nothing that you can do. There's no condemnation now. I have no condemnation. I accept what I am. As Paul said, I am what I am. Or as Papa, I is what I is. I know in this old flesh there's nothing good about me. But Christ died for me anyway. That doesn't mean I just go out and run crazy and run wild. We constrain ourselves. But the love of Christ constrains us. And it says in 21, and that you that were sometimes alienated. We are alienated from God. In your physical flesh, in your sinful flesh, you are alienated. You're not even associated with God because you stand outside of His love and His salvation. You're alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now hath he reconciled. It doesn't matter how bad you are or were. Now, I wasn't a drug addict, but I could have been. It's only by the grace of God. And I was just a religious person. I thought I was good. And I, you know, got baptized twice. I thought I was following the Lord and doing the right things and serving him in church and surrendering to the call and all that. But it was all bunk. It was all junk. Because truthfully, I did not know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I didn't have that time in my life when I could point back and say, you know, Lord, that's when I got lost. I didn't have that peace. I was struggling all the time about it. I read the Bible. Even before I got saved, I'd read the Bible, and it was a King James Bible. Because that's all my daddy taught me, was a King James Bible. But through my life, I struggled with it. I was alienated with God. Because I was trying to do it in my own fashion, in my own strength, in my own righteousness. But that's not the way it was with God. God says, no. That's not the way it is. He reconciled through His Son, our Savior, on the cross. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. Well, I want to start in verse 17. God, I've got 15 minutes. I'm just trying to fill in. I'm just joking. Verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And you know, I think about that old things. Think about the old things. What are some of the old things? It's religion. Old things. It's your self-righteousness. It's your old man. And you know, who you feed is what's going to be the strongest in your body. And I'm guilty of not feeding the new man as much as I should. I mean, I try, but and as I tell people, there's a mirror here, and when I preach to you, I'm preaching to this person right here, this wretched man. I mean, there are some things, if you knew me, you'd say, whoa, let's get him out of him. Because I am a sinner. I am no good. I am a murderer. I'm a wretched man. But praise God, in Christ Jesus, I am complete. I have been reconciled. Go on, let's read this. It says, and all things are of God who hath reconciled to himself. See, He reconciled you to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. Think about that. He reconciled. He forgave you. Reconciliation is also a bookkeeping term. There's a debt that has to be paid, and something has to be paid on it to reconcile it, to balance the books. I used to be a bookkeeper. And you just have to balance the books. Well, Christ's death on the cross balanced our sin debt. It took it away. It paid it all. He redeemed it. Christ, God, through His Son, reconciled us on the cross. Not only did He die for our sins, but He reconciled us to Him. I don't know how much more plainer you could say is there's nothing you could do to make God mad at you. There's nothing that you can do. God is not mad at those people in Hades. Or Haiti, wherever that's at. Yeah, I said that. Haiti. God is not mad at any, you know, I was telling my mom the other day, talking, you know, I know I'm getting a little distracted here. Natural disasters are not God's fault. If you want to blame anybody for natural disaster, go back and blame Adam. Because when Adam sinned, earth got cursed. The ground got cursed. And guess who is in charge of all the nature and or the air, the prince of power, the air? Satan. He's in charge of all that. But it's not just that. It's natural phenomenon. That is, and I was talking to Mom and said, you know, I said, Mom, the last days are not natural disasters. The last days are not earthquakes, tornadoes, all that stuff. That's not the last days is the falling away from the faith. It's the falling away. It's the iniquity of not believing the Word of God rightly divided. That is the falling away. When people, and like I said, I don't have a TV where I keep up with stuff that's going on TV about preachers and things like that anymore. I used to. But they don't preach the same thing. Churches do not preach the same thing. That's the falling away. And that's going to be the end times. The iniquity is going to get stronger and people are going to fall away from the truth more and more. Because they don't want to believe the truth. They don't want to believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins on the cross. They don't want to believe that God has redeemed you. They don't want you to believe that the cross is enough. They want you to come into their church. They want you to come down and sign a card that you're going to join them so they can put numbers on the board. That's what they're after. They don't care whether you're saved or not, because if they did, they'd throw away their perverted Bibles and get a good King James and start preaching out of it. And that's what's happening to the world today, not earthquakes and things like that. Anyway, get back to reconciliation. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ. God is in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. So you see, to God, not only did Christ Jesus become our Passover lamb or our lamb, he was shed, his blood was shed for us. He died on the cross for us because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. We have a free gift. God is offering it to everybody. God said, here, you can have it. But it's not yours until when? When is it your free gift? When you take it. When you accept it, say, okay, I'll take it. Take it. God is offering you a free gift tonight. If you die tonight and you're lost, you cannot stand before God and say, well, God, I didn't know. Because he's going to say, son, this night, December the 20th, someone stood behind the pulpit and told you. Well, excuse me, January. In January. Someone told you the good news that my son died on the cross for you, that I reconciled the world to you, that I was not going to impute any sin to you. The only thing that's going to cause you to go to hell, my son or daughter, is you didn't trust me as your personal Savior. And you will die and bust the slats out of hell, and then you will be thrown into the lake of fire for eternity. Let's go on. It says, to wit, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing? I mean, think about it. He's not imputing our trespasses, because if he did, I'd fail the first thing I got out of bed. But I try not to, but, it's like I told someone before. I said, when I get up with good intentions by 10 o'clock, my good intentions are not going out the door. Good intentions are not going to get you into heaven either. Your faith, your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is what it's going to take for you to get saved. I'm not through with that. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's our job, men of this church and ladies. But men, when you stand behind this pulpit, our job is to reconcile you unto God, to show you how you can be reconciled to God. And it's so simple. It's not hard. It's not complicated. It's simply trust Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. Simply put your faith in his finished work. Grasp a hold of that. Trust him for that. He has forgiven you of all sins. Let's go over to, first of all, no, we're still, look over to Romans 5:10. Romans 5:10. I think we read this before. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. How? How were we reconciled? By the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We are saved by his life. Jesus Christ, he rose up out of that grave. He justified us when he came up out of that grave. He left our sins behind us. Look over in verse 18 of Romans 5. It says, therefore, as by offense of the offense of one, and 18, it says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men. Now, offense of one was Adam, of course. Adam's the one who caused all this problem. But God made a way out for Adam. He did. He made a way out. He had to sacrifice an innocent animal. But God made a better way out for us. He sacrificed his son. He gave us his son. He reconciled himself to us through his son. He has given us his son. Ephesians 2:16. Well, let me go to verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances for the making himself of twain one new man, talking about the new creature, so making peace. There's that word peace again. And well, someday I'll have to come back to you and preach to you about peace. I'll tell you, there's nothing like it. I'm not kidding you. There is, when you have the peace of God in your life, in your heart, the day that you get saved and that peace comes, I'd never forget. I was walking out the door of the church. It was in Chattanooga. And the first, I looked at Barry and I said, Barry, I understand now what you mean by the peace of God. Just relax. Just everybody take a deep breath and relax. If you're saved today, just relax. If you have that peace, why you go around fretting and biting on your fingernails? Because if you're going around fretting and biting on your fingernails and you don't know, there's something wrong. I'd be checking out my salvation. But I have had peace ever since then. I have happy. Now, I'm not saying I've walked right. I mean, after all, I'm still in this old flesh. Paul said, I'm a wretched man. Oh, wretched man that I am. But I have the peace of God. I know right now, we was talking about being vertical and horizontal a while ago. You're being alive. You know, somebody says, how are you today? Well, at least I'm vertical. Well, you know what? In my, I don't care if I was horizontal. Now, I don't mean that flippantly. I'm serious. Being horizontal wouldn't bother me. Because for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, but me to die is gain. I don't like this world. Sometimes it's a lonely place. Sometimes it's a hellacious place. There are things going on that, and the biggest thing that I notice is people's greed and covetousness. People are not satisfied. They want more and more. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. Think of things that are above. Don't think about this earthly place. And that's why being horizontal wouldn't bother me. Because I'd be out of my troubles then. Anyway, that's getting off. Look at Colossians 2:13. Not only has Christ reconciled us, He gave Himself for us, He ransomed us. Colossians 2:13, one of my favorite verses. And you, that's you, that's me, and you, being dead in your sins. So we're dead in our sins. We're dead. As far as Christ is concerned, I mean, before He died, we're dead in our sins. There's nothing that we can do. And uncircumcision of your flesh hath He quickened. He brought together. He brings us to life. He's brought this body to life, which was contrary to us and to, and quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Everything. Now, have you forgotten what you've done in your past? No. There are some things I think about and I think, oh, Lord, I am so glad. As Barry would say, my zinger sins, and we all have our zinger sins. We all have our skeletons in the closet. As Barry would say, come up here and confess them to us. Let's hear them. Now, you wouldn't want, no, there's some things in my life you wouldn't want to hear. I'm serious. I'm a wretched man. I'm no good. But praise God, He died for me. He gave His Son for me. He reconciled me through His Son by the death of the cross. He gave His cross. The cross is all powerful. The cross is, the preaching of the cross is the power of God to them. I can't quote it. I done messed up. But anyway, we know that it's the power of the cross that saves us. We know that it was God through His Son reconciling us. Go to Colossians 1. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We're in darkness. Before you come to Jesus Christ, you're in darkness. I was in darkness. I was like going down, you know, trying to find my way. But God came to me. He showed me the truth. And in verse 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. Go to Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. It took His blood shed on that cross to redeem us from the power of sin, to forgive us of our sins. He reconciled us through His blood, according to blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's the verse, that's the word, the forgiveness of sins. He has forgiven us. He's redeemed us. He has bought us. He's paid the price. What more can we do? Go to Romans 3:24, and I will try to finish up there. Notice the key word is I try. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So here we have a no good sinner. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We don't seek after God. None seek after God. There's no hope for us. But God says, yes, there is going to be a hope. His Son, before the foundation of the world, said, Lord, Father, I will go and I will die for Stanley on the cross. I will take his place. I will be. The wages of sin is death. I will be his death for him. And when I come out of that grave, he'll be justified. He'll be just as he had never sinned. And I will not hold anything towards him. I will not impute anything to him. I will reconcile him to you through my death. Even though I know it's going to be horrible. When I look in that cup and I see all that Stanley is, I'm going to die for him anyway. He has died for you. He has laid it all on the cross for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's all.